From the Epistle of St. Peter, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. Part of a great oration on the part of St. Peter. Born anew to a living hope. Great speeches inspire hope. I think of the King's speech that was brought to life by Colin Firth on the big screen in the last year or so. The King of England inspiring his people under the threat and experience of war. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech lives on. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Less well known, but among the more powerful, Jesse Jackson's address to the 1984 Democratic Convention. A spirited oratory, ending with the repeated phrase, keep hope alive, keep hope alive, keep hope alive. Well, the American people presumably did keep hope alive by re-electing Ronald Reagan in a landslide in 1984, ushering in what many still think is kind of the golden age of American politics. And now, 30 years later, it's a little harder to catch and hold on to hope living in that same way, a post-9/11 world, protracted war in the Middle East, a fiscal cliff. Even Jesse Jackson's personal life, with his own experience and that of his son, have taken turns and become difficult. Keep hope alive. How do we do that? How do, in the Advent season, we sort of catch the glimmer of that light and the heat from the candle and keep hope alive? A couple of different ways, I think. We more or less just experienced that in intercessory prayer. We have a very lengthy prayer list. And those whose names are on it, well, those whose names are on it and the people who love them keep hope alive as we pray for them, as we gather our thoughts, focus them on those concerns, and become literally the body of Christ. Hope through prayer takes shape in community. And as we can, to the extent that any of us are able, we lend a hand. We trust those who work in the healthcare profession to lend a hand and to use their expertise to bring forth hope. Hope through prayer, because it draws together our thoughts and strengthens our own one body to reach those who need a hand, to walk where help is needed. Works also individually. Prayer is a kind of intimate activity. It's an opportunity to draw our own concerns together, maybe even to converse or confess in ways that are private and necessary. I've always been struck by a particularly favorite essayist of mine who says these things about prayer and in light of Keep Hope Alive. He says, whatever else it may or may not be, prayer is at least talking to yourself. And that in itself is not always a bad idea. Talk to yourself about your own life, about what you've done and what you've failed to do, and about who you are and who you wish you were and who the people you love are and the people you don't love too. Talk to yourself about what matters most to you, because if you don't, you may forget what matters most to you. Even if you don't believe anybody's listening, at least you'll be listening. But what about when it doesn't work out? When listened to or not listened to, the prayer goes unanswered. Well, who knows? Just keep praying, Jesus says. Because the one thing you can be sure of is that down the path you beat with even your most half-cocked and halting prayer, the God you call upon will finally come. And even if he does not bring you the answer you want, he will bring you himself. And maybe at the secret heart of all our prayers, that's what we're really praying for. He will bring you himself. We keep hope alive through the assurance and the experience that we are not alone. It cycles back to intercessory prayer. We are not alone in our concerns. We are not alone in our troubles. We are not alone in our joys. And God brings us God's self through the very body of Christ. Keep hope alive this season through prayer. And keep hope alive, secondly, through perhaps an encounter with or work on behalf of a child. Christmas season highlights the life and love of children. I think it's no accident that when God chose to become one with us, he chose to become one with us as a small child. And let me suggest that children are not especially or instinctively generous or peaceful. But they are inquisitive and amazing in their own way. We have children in our lives personally in a couple of different ways. We have the 6 grandchildren that I talk about relentlessly. We also have children that we know through an agency in Lubbock, Hope Community of Shalom. And these kids didn't do quite as good a job of picking their parents as our grandkids did. And their lives are much different. And yet there's a commonality that, if you're paying attention, is truly amazing. Any child who learns something in your presence for the first time will keep hope alive in your life. When you watch a child get something for the first time, you can't help it. I spent $10 this week on eBay and bought this. This is the 1956 version of a book called We Look and See, and is the same book as was my first reader in first grade. I remember this as vividly as I remember anything from my childhood. This particular picture was on an easel-sized page. And we all were called forward to sit, not in a circle, just to sit in a clump in front of this. And my first grade teacher, rest her soul, looked at us and then pointed and said, "Look!" And we did. And we learned the first word we ever read. Look! An apt choice. When a child looks and sees and gets it. Give yourself that experience somehow, some way. In the presence of a child, literally, or maybe figuratively, as maybe you take a box of something and put it into the McDonald's collection. And even imagine that a child who opens it might look and see that somebody cared. Keep hope alive this season by experiencing with a child or on a child's behalf the wonder of learning something new or sharing an unexpected experience. Look and see and keep hope alive. Keep hope alive, thirdly, and maybe more profoundly, in a kind of ongoing way, through the experience of failure. Yeah, that's what he said, through the experience of failure. You've all heard the expression, anything worth doing is worth doing. Yeah. I learned in pastoral care class that anything worth doing is worth doing badly. If all we ever learned were the things we do well, we'd never go beyond playing hopscotch. We would never be stretched or pushed. I have a doctoral dissertation. Jeff does too. And he knows this, that is not the pinnacle of what we do in the study of academics. Actually, it's just practice. 5 people have read my doctoral dissertation. I did, of course, and the 4 people who had to that were on my committee. It's on a dusty old shelf in the library at Purdue University. And it was not the product, but the process. It was not the product, but the process that counts. We have to submit a proposal when you write one of these things, and it's just an outline with a paragraph or two of what you intend to do. And that the center of a dissertation proposal is the theory section, you know, our grand idea. Well, that theory section in my dissertation proposal was written and submitted, and I couldn't wait to get the feedback. Feedback had more red ink on it than black ink, and I rewrote that dissertation proposal theory section 9 times. About time it got right. Well, then, of course, writing the chapter out of that 9 times vetted proposal section should be a snap. Guess again. I wrote the theory chapter of that dissertation and rewrote it 9 times. That's why nobody reads it. But anything worth doing is worth doing badly, because we will learn from our mistakes. Others will watch what we have come to know. Maybe they'll take it to heart, maybe they won't. But we will learn to lead them through safe passage, not only their great and grand successes, but also the times they fell and needed to be picked up. Keep hope alive by knowing that you will be picked up. Cycles back to the body of Christ again. We live in the company of people who love us. Who love us not if we succeed, or only if we succeed, but who love us even if we fail. And maybe even because we inevitably share the experience of learning. That's another way of saying the outcome of failure. I learned something, and now I can teach it. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly, because it puts us in the company of those who know how it is, who love us not if, but anyway, and that is the essence of the Christian gospel. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive through prayer. See hope reflected in the eyes of a child, and experience a living hope, born anew, maybe even in retrospect, of great failure, as you see yourself reflected in the eyes of the one who from the cross loves you not if, but anyway, and for all time. Keep hope alive.